You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Spring training is finally upon us, and pitchers and catchers are scurrying to spring training to report to their teams. And I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com. I'm not quite scurrying yet, but Anthony DiComo is already out of New York and in Port St. Lucie to cover all things Mets for the next month and a half or so. So, Anthony, I guess you're happy to get out of the cold weather up there in New York. And kind of an interesting camp in that there's not a whole lot going on when it comes to position battles. And I guess we touched on this a little bit, but let's talk about it a little more. David Wright, so everyone will be watching him, and I guess officially the front office would like him to play in just around 130 games. So is that feasible?
Sure, I think it's feasible. I wouldn't hang your hat on it right now, and not that David can't do it or is incapable of doing it, but the simple fact is he hasn't been through an off season until this one, having been diagnosed with the spinal stenosis, and he certainly hasn't been through a full regular season and that grind. We really just saw him in August and September when they were real careful with him. We saw him in the playoffs when you get that built-in off day every two or three games. So we don't know what this is going to look like. And you can put a number on paper like 130, and that's fine. And I think that's a great goal for David and for the Mets. And if he does that, that means things probably went right. But the point is you have to be flexible with this guy. And he has to be flexible in telling the Mets and telling Terry Collins and just being honest about when he's hurting and when he might need a day. And that's something that admittedly he has struggled with throughout his career, long before this has come up. He's really had a tough time being honest about his health. And, you know, just because he's been so dedicated to the team, it's not necessarily a bad quality, but he's got to be better at that. And I think finally now at age 33 with this injury threatening his career last year, I think he's going to be. I really think he's kind of backed up against the wall with it, that he has no choice but to be honest. So it's going to be a matter of how his body responds then. And is 130 the number? Maybe. Maybe it's 120. Maybe it's 125. I think we get caught up in these hard numbers sometimes. And just because the general manager says on February 14th that he wants David Wright or is hopeful that David Wright can play in 130 games doesn't mean he's going to. And it also doesn't mean that something went wrong if he winds up playing in 120. I think the key is that this guy just needs to be healthy. Because if you're trying to push him and he spends another month on the disabled list and he's rehabbing and he comes back and something's not right and he's not giving you that David Wright quality at bat, that David Wright quality performance, then what's the point? You just want as many healthy games out of this guy as possible, and then you got to hope at age 33 that there's still enough left in the tank for him to really be productive. No one expects, you know, 2006, 2007 David Wright to come out of the woodwork here, but he could still be a very good player for this team, especially with the best lineup around him probably that he's ever had in his career since those 2006, 2007 teams. So I think all of that goes into it. I think it's important not to put this hard number on it, but yeah, to answer your question in a very short way, I think 130 is a very nice idealistic goal for David Wright and for the Mets.
So we place too much importance on what a guy means to the morale of a team. I mean, you know, I kind of go back and forth with that because a guy like David Wright, who's like the captain of the Mets and has been just a terrific person. He's always been a terrific person because he's just a good guy. So it's not like being a baseball player made him that way. But, you know, a great representative of the team. But is it a little bit overblown, like what it could be if he's not, if he wouldn't be available to the team just because the Mets are coming off of a pennant? Clearly they can kind of carry themselves. Regardless of if they have that, you know, Captain America, does that matter?
Look, talent trumps everything, okay? The Mets didn't make the World Series last year because David Wright made this great return from spinal stenosis. They made the World Series because Yoenis Cespedes came and went bonkers, and they had the best pitching staff on the planet, and all these other things went right for them. Now, that being said, yeah, it's a nice boost to the clubhouse to have a guy who sort of takes pressure off everyone else in so many ways. David Wright is a wizard with the media, for example. He always has been. He knows how to have great relationships. He knows how to essentially take pressure off other people. You know, if you're Lucas Duda and you're in one of your 2-for-30 slumps, you may not want to talk to the media that night. Well, David Wright makes it easier by being available and always being in his locker and never turning down requests and so on and so forth. That's one part of it. I think the clubhouse vibe was a little different last year when he was gone. I think some younger players who maybe weren't ready or shouldn't have been in leaderships might have taken some of that on. And not to say that there was a sour clubhouse by any means, because this is really, you know, one of the better teams I've ever seen in terms of the vibe. But when David Wright came back, and mind you, comes back in Philadelphia to the team hotel, and when their bus comes in, he's waiting at the elevator with a plate of cookies that he had ordered in. You know, that's the type of guy that he is and the type of thing that he does. He's really kind of like an old school, corny. He's, you know, if he wasn't a baseball player, if he wasn't a tremendous athlete, he would be a nerd. He really would be. He's got that kind of personality. And, yeah, I think that adds something. I think players respect him for what he is, for what he's meant to the team, the organization, what he's meant to the game over the past decade plus. And, again, like I said at first, I'd rather have the more talented team over a team of just that guy. But it's certainly a nice bonus to have, and I think it can only mean good things if he's there and he's healthy and the clubhouse has him in it the whole summer.
So did he have like a napkin draped over his arm when he was standing there with a plate of cookies, like ready to serve people like a butler?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was in full uniform too. These guys were coming off a plane ride and a bus to the hotel, and they get there, and as far as I know, no one knew he was going to do this. And the story is, it was one of these hotels. It was, you know, you walk in, but then the lobby's on the second floor, and they all take the elevator to the second floor to the lobby, and he's just standing there in full uniform with a plate of cookies like a giant dork, and it's who he is. And it was I do think the clubhouse got better after he came back. I think it was a more pleasant, more professional, just a better place for everyone to work and to be, and I think he plays the biggest role and influence in that room than anyone else on the roster.
Well, then I'm going to be rooting for him to have a full, healthy season. And so, with
cookies
that
for
said,
everyone.
Yes. So we're going to. So since there are very few position battles and everything's been settled, it could be a very pleasant camp for Terry Collins. It could be a very boring camp for you. But let's talk about what it is like for you as a reporter covering spring training. So we know it's a grind. It's every day. It's crack of dawn, working all day till the sun goes down sometimes. And so you kind of have to stay on like a routine. What do you do like from a day-to-day basis? Are you thinking ahead? Are you mentally like preparing every day for what you think you're going to write? How much does like breaking news sort of mess up the whole routine of spring training?
Yeah, always. I mean, it's really an interesting animal as a baseball writer, because the access to these guys in spring training is so much better than what we get during the season, during the year. It's the best time of year for that. So you can do more interesting, more creative things. Like last year, for example, Allison, you were there when I went, and everyone was talking about these new Mike Barwis workouts that the team had hired this guy to supervise their workouts and to basically oversee their strength and conditioning. And so I went and did a workout with this guy and almost killed myself. Allison, you were there when we went and saw some of his work with disabled patients and all that, and that was a cool story. So you get to do things like that that you wouldn't normally get to do during the regular season. And I'd say there's two types of stories. I mean, there's short-term news here and now, daily grind, which is going to be 90% of what you do. But then I'm always sort of looking forward or looking ahead to what's next. What can I do? What can I do that's bigger and a little more impactful, maybe, and a little more interesting, whether it's a story like that or whether it's a profile of a guy on the team or whether it's something human interest. There's no shortage of things to do. It's what I love about covering baseball versus other sports. There's so much downtime, and it's such a human game that it brings out personalities in these guys. And they are human beings, and I would say, you know, a large number of them aren't all that interesting, because they're just human beings like you and me, and I'm not that interesting either. But every once in a while you get these exceptional stories that come up, and this is the time of year when you can draw them out and really take your time with them, and I think do a better job, and it's fun. So I think that's a large part of it, is just seeking these things out over the next 6 weeks and seeing what's there. Yeah, that's fun. And these 2 weeks now before the games start are really great for that. Once the games start, we're driving all over Florida. We're logging thousands of miles on our rental cars and so on and so forth. So it gets to be a little more hectic. But right now, everyone's in a great mood. The sun is shining. It's snowing everywhere else in the country. So why not have a little fun with it, right?
Yeah, I always found that once I hit about March 18th, I was starting to bang my head against the wall a little bit, like, okay, I need to do something else. But up until then, the routine isn't so bad. And like you said, I mean, once the games start, I mean, how many miles do you think you put? 3,000? Like in the month of March, it's got to be close to that, I bet.
You know, before I started doing the Mets beat, I actually spent a spring and I was based in Port St. Lucie, but I was driving all around the state filling in for other people. I probably saw you up there in Kissimmee a couple of times, Allison, but, I put over 5,000 miles on my car that spring, and
wow.
It was like a brand new, rental car when I got it. There was like 300 miles on it, and I returned it with, 6 weeks later with 5,300. I'm sure the rental car company wasn't too happy with me. Covering just one team, it's a little easier. But yeah, I'd say a couple thousand for sure. Nothing's close to Port St. Lucie. It's one of the drawbacks of being here. The Mets' shortest road trip in spring training is about 45, 50 minutes, and they make that one a lot down to the Marlins and the Cardinals and Jupiter. After that, you're looking at over an hour, and that'll get easier next year when the Nationals move down to Palm Beach Gardens, I believe it is, where they're moving.
Yeah, the Nationals and Astros, yeah.
Yeah, and that'll make the commute a little less. It's one less really long trip to make every year and a bunch more closer ones. But, it's a lot of driving. It's a lot of podcasts. last year I got through all of Serial in about a week, so that was fun. This year I'm going to have to find something else to do. And I didn't get satellite radio in my car this year, but we'll figure something out. I'm streaming some music and whatnot. And, I live in New York, so not many opportunities to drive there during the summer. So I'll soak in these miles and enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good time to clear your head, too. I never really minded it that much as long as I was kind of by myself and had free reign of the radio. So anyway, good luck to you, Anthony. Thank you so much. I'll see you in Florida and be safe.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.